The title this morning is No More Excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. Amen. No more excuses what we do and can't make this and I can't make that. And no more excuses that I can't lose weight and do that. No more excuses that I can't have a nice house in the hills somewhere. No more excuses. This morning I'm going to talk about don't make any more excuses. That I want to help you this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells in you, that you have the ability, the capability, you possess the power of God and you can have that, but you got to quit making excuses. Take a look at this slide. No excuses. None. Don't make any excuses. Well, I can't do this, Pastor, because I was told I would never amount to be anything. No excuses. When I graduated high school and I failed the ACT test, they all told me I was just going to be a janitor. That's what I was going to be. That's what they told me. Don't make any excuse, but that's what you're going to be. But God had something different. God had a bigger plan. See, Jesus never made excuses for who he was or what his purpose was on this earth, and nor should we. Change begins with renewing of our minds with the Word of God every day. To begin to see success that you're destined to have, you got to eliminate excuses. Jesus did not make any excuses. He had the opportunity so many times to say, well, these people, I don't know. God, dying on a cross? I got to pick 12 and they're all a bunch of cussers and sailors and fishermen and they're a little rough around the edges. Jesus didn't make any excuses. You and I have the power to change our lives. Take a look at this next slide real quick. Change. It's the next exit. Next exit. Change is coming. As a Christian, you got to get ready. You're going to have change. The only way that your life becomes better is when you change, because you are already filthy and dirty and rolled around with the pigs and the hogs and the troughs all your life, and you used to do things you shouldn't do, and all you can do is change. I used to do that. Used as the old guy I used to be. People remember you for who you used to be, but don't want to praise you for who you are today. But there's a change coming. You got to get off the freeway of the same thing that you're always doing, expecting a different change or a different thing to happen. You got to change. You got to get off that exit. The only way you do that is not making any more excuses. Come on now. So I'm going to help you this morning. I'm going to break down some scripture for you. I'm going to help you get this because I understand. When I was young, my mom's here today, and she can admit, I used to make a ton of excuses why I couldn't put the dishes in the sink, wash them, and then put them in the dishwasher when the dishwasher was right next to the sink that I just rinsed out the plate and put it in. I'd make an excuse, well, I got something else to do until the paddle came out. And the paddle came out. The excuses went away real quick because the behind was going to get whooped. I make excuses. I'll do it in 10 more minutes. I'll do it someday. You're always making excuses. I'm always late for work. I don't know why. I'm always late. Well, you're making excuses. Maybe you need to set your alarm clock a little earlier. Excuses. And when we make excuses, let me tell you, it hinders you from growing with God. Amen? So I'm just going to keep it real this morning because I'm not exempt from making excuses. There's some things when I don't want to do it, I just make that excuse. But sometimes I'm learning through this process that it's not about me. Sometimes I need to be at a situation or someone's house or be with somebody. I don't really want to be there so I can make an excuse not to show up. But it wasn't about me being inconvenienced. It was about being there because there was something that God might have wanted to say through me to change the circumstance or situation. I don't like going to funerals. I really don't. So there's when people die, I try not to go to the funeral. Not that I don't want to disrespect them, but you know I don't want to travel because it's an inconvenience. It's an excuse. I don't like to go to the gym. I'm allergic to working out. It's an excuse. You know, I'm really tired. I've been working all day, but and the whole time God says, well, go do this and go do that. Go spend an hour in my word, but Lord, I'm so tired. Take a look in the Bible in Romans 12:1. We're going to look at the New Living Translation, Romans 12:1 and 2. I want to share something with you because this is just God's way of doing things. And I don't know about you, but God's ways are better than my ways. I got some great plans, but God's plans are better than the great plans that I have. Amen. A God idea is better than a good idea. Take a look at Romans 12:1. 12:1 says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, that's you and I, he says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. So there must be kinds that he doesn't find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So if we're going to worship God, we worship God through our bodies, through living holy and having a sacrifice and doing some things we don't really want to do, but we have to do because we want to bless God. Because once again, it's not about me. It's about him. And he wants to use you, since he's not here in the flesh, he makes you like God, to be like God, to speak your word, his word to these people. I love number two. It says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't be a copycat. God made an original when he created you, and then he broke the mold so no one could be just like you. He made you perfect in his image, so just be like him in his image. Your mannerisms, your actions may be different than mine, but the words you get across may affect somebody different than the way I would say it. So don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, because otherwise you're going to end up being like the world, and when you look like the world, no one can be drawn to God because it looks the same. I don't want my church to have a Starbucks because it looks like the world. I didn't come to church to get a cup of coffee. I come to get the word of God. Now, I'm not knocking churches that got that now. I'm going to call Central, and they send that you guys. That's good they got a coffee shop and they got a Starbucks. I go in there all the time. I do business with them, and I'm glad they have one because sometimes I need another cup of coffee. But when I come to church, I don't come for a cup of coffee. I come for the word of God. I come to get something, gain something, and then go out and give it away. So I don't want to copy the pastor down the street. I want to be the original God created me to be. I love T.D. Jakes, and I love all these other ministers, but I'm not supposed to copy them. I'm supposed to be like God. And he's an original. So don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Change is not easy, but it's possible. Let me say that again. Change is not easy. We don't like to change. We like to say, for me, I don't like to travel a lot. I like to sleep in my own bed every night. Now, my brother's the opposite. My brother probably travels 320 days out of the 365 days. He loves to travel. I mean, you know, he's a jet setter, and he called me one day, and he had to leave in the morning to go to a meeting in Germany. Had the meeting for 3 hours and flew back. I mean, that's crazy, but he likes that. That's good for him. For me, But change is possible. Shout, Jesus. Help me. I want to make no more excuses. See, no more excuses. God doesn't want to hear excuses. I know. And there's some parents in here. We have children, and we don't like when they make excuses. Well, why were you late? Well, my friend was talking, and don't you have a watch or an alarm to make sure that you're not home late? But now you're going to be grounded. I was the king of excuses. I had a book called How to Make Excuses, 100 quick things that you can tell your parents or coworkers or friends or wives or whatever you got. I mean, it was that. Well, you got to stop making excuses in order to experience change. You must first change your mindset, your ideas, and your attitude. If you can change those things, then you'll find that you're not making excuses all the time. Take a look at this slide up here. This is going to help you a little bit. Okay. Now here's a guy who's in the world would look disabled. He's missing a leg. He has an excuse not to have to participate or work out. Why? Because he's exempt because he has no leg. But did Jesus say because he had no leg he has an excuse? And you look at in the picture on the left, and he didn't look too healthy there. I mean, he probably, you know, after he lost his leg, was a little depressed and a little bummed out. And he probably made excuses for everything that had happened in his life. But then he got a mind change, a change of mind. His thinking got transformed. And said, hey, you know, I got to get my body into shape. My body used to look like that. Amen. Oh, the one on the right. I used to look like that. I'm just trying to help you. Now I look like the guy on the left, but I'm working real hard to get back to the guy on the right because I made excuses not to go to the gym. I made excuses not to eat right. I like the big pizza, you know, amen. I love, you know, the Italian food, you know. I like to eat that. But this guy had to make a mindset. And so when you hear yourself making excuses, you should remember this picture. Man, that guy didn't make an excuse. He was faithful and he was driven. Well, God wants you to be driven in the same way in his word, to make no excuses. You got to align your thinking with God's word, his ways and his actions. You got to start making changes in a small way. I think he started in a small way. He looked in and said, man, I've got to read a book to figure out how I can get my body into shape. So he probably picked up a book or went on YouTube and found some things that he could do. And he didn't use his disability as a crutch not to do something like we do. Well, I can't do that because I don't have enough money, Pastor. If I had a nickel for every time someone told me that, I would be a gazillionaire. Well, I can't do that because... Well, he can't work out because, but he did. So I wanted something dramatic enough to stick in your memory throughout the week that we make excuses about everything. And every time we make an excuse, it's just something that piles up that eventually we don't get to where God wants us to be as quick as he wanted us to be because we make excuses. Because when you make an excuse, it's convenient for you to get out of something. And God sometimes wants to inconvenience you to bless somebody else. He's trying to help you. But you got to start small. It's like an elephant. You take small bites. Set some reasonable goals and some milestones along the way. You want to be a certain weight, or you want to get to college and you say, well, you know, based upon the funds I have today, I'm not going to make it. It might take me 5 years to get there. Okay, you got a goal. Now start working it. For Christians, change should be a lifestyle. God should be changing you from the inside out. He changes your heart first, and then he transforms the rest of your body. Amen. And when I got saved, I thought I could lose 100 pounds the first day. Lord, I got saved. Okay, drop the 100 pounds. Boom. Didn't happen that way. He changed me by the inside. I had to change my thinking about what I did. No exercise means I'm going to be slower at doing things. Change my mindset. Exercise. I don't like exercise. I hate exercise. I hate going on a treadmill. I hate work going on that pre-crawl. I hate going to the gym and have to work out and sweat and get showered again. It's an inconvenience. But you never know why you're there because you may be in a mission field. When you're getting that smoothie from the person behind you, might have an opportunity to share Jesus. Just trying to help you. We make excuses for everything. Change begins on the inside. We got to be more adaptable as Christians. And let me tell you this morning, you and I have the power to change. It's inside of us. We just have to go do it. And sometimes we just don't want to go do it. We wore the Nike shirt that says just do it, but we don't want to do it. We want somebody else to do it. Amen. I want someone else to come and clean my whole house that I made a mess in. But sometimes I got to go clean it. Amen. You got to submit yourself to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and He will help you change. Guess what? You have an onboard coach. It's talking at you all the time, trying to keep you on the straight and narrow, trying to encourage you that don't make that excuse for that, because God wants you to be somewhere or strategically doing something so that it draws the attention. And when He draws attention, you can share Jesus. Amen? God's going to open up doors and opportunities for you, but you can't be the one that make excuses. I run a business in town, and I hate when my guys come to me when they make excuses on why they can't do something. Well, you know, it's hot outside. Yeah, I know. We're an air conditioning business. Hello. You know, it's hot up on that roof. You don't know how hot it is. Oh, yeah, I've been up there. It's 140 degrees. My shoes are melting. I understand. It's hot. That's the job you chose. That's why you get paid the big bucks. Amen? That's why I sit in an air-conditioned office. I go climb the same ladder they'll climb. Amen? Can't make excuses. You have the power to change, but we got to stop making excuses. Shout this morning, I will quit making excuses. Now I'm going to show you something in the Bible, because here's what happens. You say, well, Pastor, that's great. You know, I can't make excuses about this. I can't make excuses about that. All good. Let me give you some biblical reasons why. Because if I don't, then you're going to say, well, if it's not available to happen, you won't do it. Jesus already told us we got to make ourselves available. We got to get our thinking right. We got to change our mindset. There's a story about this guy in the book of John. John 5:2. Take a look at John 5:2. And this is the New Living Translation. And this man had this infirmity for 38 years. He had made excuses for 38 years and stayed in the same predicament he was because of his excuses. You guys got John 5:2? It says, inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. They weren't in the sun. They were covered porches, so the person that was ill would be covered. They were covered porches. Do you understand God covers you in all your circumstances and every situation you face? He's got you covered. My kids know when their bank statement's a little short on money, Dad got them covered. My daughter's good at doing that. She goes, Dad, I just need an extra $20. Can you just transfer it over? I got you covered. But my daddy Jesus got me covered. Amen. So there are these covered porches, and in verse 3 it says crowds of sick people that were blind and lame or paralyzed, they laid on these porches. And one of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. How many of us have dealt with stuff for a long time because we've made excuses not to deal with it? Oh, I know it. It hit my spinal cord too. I was like, really? He was sick for 38 years, and then verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, because Jesus knows everything. We can't pull a fast one on God. He answered him, would you like to get well? I mean, I'm just thinking about this, you know. He's been there 38 years, and God already knows the answer to the question he's about to ask. Hey, man, you want to get well? Yeah, man, what are you talking about? How are you? I'm there 38 years. But his word in verse 7 says, I can't, sir. Jesus died on the cross to remove the word can't from you. It says, I can't, sir, the sick man said. I can't go to college because no one else in my family's ever gone to college. Well, I can't go to college, not because everybody in my family and everyone, but now I don't have the money to go. I can't do that because I stutter too much, or I'm not good in front of public speaking, and I just can't. So for 38 years, he can't do anything. For 38 years where he should have been a blessing, probably to somebody, he couldn't do it because he had the can't mentality. He made excuses that paralyzed him. Oh. I can't, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets ahead of me. That guy over there, he's ahead of me. He why did he get the raise and I didn't? I seem to work just as hard as him or her. Excuses. But Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. I'm going to tell you this morning, by the Spirit of God, that you need to remove your spirit of excuses. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. I had to learn a long time ago that I used excuses, and God said, really? Really? Jesus, I don't want to be a pastor. I can't do that. They get picked on. I'll be one that supports from behind financially and be a blessing and help out where I can with my talents. And God said, stand up. Huh? Pick up your mat. Huh? Walk. Quit being lazy for those 38 years of laying around and making excuses and pick yourself up. Start fresh and new on September 1st. Because see, the angel, it was funny, the angel would stir up the water and the people would step into it and they would be healed. But this man had excuses for not getting into the water and he remained in the condition that he had, and it remained the same. When you make excuses, you remain the same. So quit making excuses. Start small. God has given you the tools to break all the chains of bondages in your life. Take a look at this slide. I remember when I was chained up, and then when I got a word from God that I could do it, the chains got broken. When I learned that he made me capable of doing all things through Christ Jesus, it gave me another perspective of I don't have to make that excuse no more. I was sick for 12 years because I made the excuse I was always sick, and I wouldn't spend enough time in the Word to believe God that he would heal me. I made an excuse. I almost put out dominoes by eating so many pizzas. I was 365 pounds and said, I can't lose weight. I tried everything. I made excuses. Come on. I make excuses. Well, I like to eat. It must be, I have a slow metabolism. No, when you're eating 45,000 calories in a box of Twinkies, my metabolism just couldn't keep up with it. I'd have to run a marathon a day. But I had to make some choices and get rid of the excuses and said, you know, it's not somebody else's fault that brought home the ice cream that I ate. I'm blaming everybody. I made excuses. Well, the chips were on sale, so I bought 10 bags and I ate them all. I made excuses. Of course, none of you ever have that problem. I mean, you know, but Pastor did. So I had to break the chains of addiction and drugs and alcohol and stupidity and lying and cheating. I made excuses that those things were okay. I mean, I was raised right. I wasn't raised in a barn or anything. But I had a free will to go do what I wanted to do. And I usually did. And it got me into trouble. And then I'd make excuses to get out of the trouble that I got into. Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. Let me say that again. Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. A lazy man will make excuses. My mom will tell you, I was a little lazy when I was young because I was the youngest of three. Amen. The eldest brother is 9 years older. My sister is 7 years older. And I was the youngest one, so I got everything handed to me on a silver platter. Now, I don't believe that, but that's what they told me. But I was a little lazy. I was a little lazy. My mom would say to do something 45 minutes later when the paddle come out and I get it done. Amen. Praise God. The Bible talks about a lazy. Look at this slide first. Oh, check this out. Check this slide out. You got the slide? There you go. If it is important to you, you will find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse. If it's important enough, you'll figure out somehow, some way, something. I'm going to give you just a word of advice someone gave me. When people call you and you know they're calling you for money, don't call them back for 24 hours. Why? Because they will find a way from somehow, some way to get the money they need to take care of what they have in front of them. If it's important enough for you, you'll find a way. Just trying to help. If not, you'll make an excuse. I remember being a pastor young, and I was trying to bless everybody and help people, and the benevolence fund would go to zero like in 5 seconds. I'd just give it away. God showed me. He says, you know, listen, they're all going to make excuses. If their cell phone is going to get shut off, maybe it needs to be shut off. Why do they need a cell phone when they can't make their electric bill? Come on. Pastor, can you help with our cable TV this month? Well, maybe you don't need to be watching TV. I mean, that's a luxury. It's not food. But it's only $130 a month, Pastor. Really? Why don't you go, since you're lazy and not working, why don't you go down to the department store over at Fry's and watch TV for free? While you're there, put a job application in, because there's the book of job. You can get one of those, amen. And then you'll be able to have enough money to go pay for your own TV and your own cell phone. But people want to make what? Excuses. Take a look at Proverbs 26:14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man in his bed. I love that one. I was just thinking about the hinges because I had a spray paint or spray some of these hinges because they were squeaking. And I was just thinking about when you roll over in the bed too many times, it squeaks, you know. It's the hinges. I ain't doing nothing. The hinge just sits there and does nothing. That's what a lazy man does when he lays in bed all day. And I want to be blessed, and I want all these things, Pastor, but you're not willing to go and maybe put a little effort in it. I love when people say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, it's easy for you to say, you know, you got a new car and, you know, you live in a nice house and you got some decent clothes and this and that. How do you think I got those things? They weren't given to me. My mom and dad ain't millionaires. I was hoping they were going to be the Clampets, but they weren't. So God, I mean, I could have been born into any family, but you gave me the Budzinski family. That's cool. I'm good. They're hard workers. I didn't wake up with a silver spoon in my mouth and a Bentley in the backyard. No, I had to go out and work, just like my dad did. He worked in a sweatshop and a tool and die maker. He wasn't lazy. I learned that a lazy guy, and he had guys that worked that were lazy, and I said, what happened to that guy? My dad said, that guy got laid off. Why? Because he's lazy. Didn't show up to work time, or he'd come drunk to work, or, you know, hey, he's lazy, so guess what he got? Nothing. And the guy who got laid off was using one to make excuses. Well, you know, they're just picking on me because I'm late all the time, undependable. My word don't mean nothing. Come on. All you have is your word. if your word's no good, I can look at the rest of your life why it's all jacked up. There's another story in the Bible. It talks about people that made excuses. Take a look at Luke 14:16. See, I'm only going to give you what the Bible says. I won't make it up because you're going to say, well, Pastor, you know, you made it up and you're just lucky you had some breaks. Well, I make the breaks happen sometimes. And if I'm going too fast, you know who will put on the brakes? Jesus. He'll get my attention. He'll slow me down. Because he doesn't want me to go around that curve at 100 miles an hour when I'm only geared to go around it at 60. Come on. So in the book here, in Luke 14:16, this is the New Living Translation, says this. Jesus replied to this story. He says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. Pastor Jeff and Pastor Diana put together a list for church 10-year anniversary. Because it was going to be a great feast. It was going to be a great thing that was going to happen on September 20th at 7 p.m. And when the banquet was ready, he sent the servants to tell the guests. He told the congregation, go invite everybody. Go invite everybody. Go invite everybody. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. Come to the banquet. It's ready. You're going to get blessed if you come on. Oh, man, it's going to be. It's a celebration of what God is doing, has done, and what he's about to do. But they all began to make what? Excuses. One said, I just bought a field. I got to go and inspect it. And please excuse me. And another said, I just got 5 pair of oxen, and I got a new Bentley, and I can't make it. I got to go drive it on the strip tonight. And the other one said, I just got married, and I now have a wife, and I can't come because whatever. They all made excuses. An excuse is an attempt to be released from an obligation or duty. It's an attempt to remove yourself from blame. So these people made excuses not to come to a feast where they were indeed going to be blessed. One more. I want to dig this into you so deep that you don't forget. Moses made excuses on why he couldn't do what God told him to do. Moses was a stutter. He didn't have good public speaking. And he had to bring a whole nation out of Egypt? Take a look at Exodus 3, verse 10. Exodus 3, verse 10. I'll close with this scripture. It says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I'm thinking like Moses for a minute, and I think we can all relate to Moses sometimes because he probably felt and had feelings that he was inadequate. You ever feel that way? Maybe you're inadequate, I can't do that, I don't have the capabilities, maybe I'm not smart enough, the other person's smarter, more prettier, more handsome than I. He felt unqualified for the job. Sometimes I feel that way. When I want to be pastor, I didn't want to be pastor. I thought I was unqualified for the job. Still do. But him, who was able to do exceedingly great things, said differently. Moses, you know, he probably felt weak and he had low self-esteem. Take a look at this next slide, because I want you to show Moses was supposed to go out and bring people to Christ. Okay? You and I are supposed to be like the dog. Dog spelled God backward is God. And sometimes we need to put our head in the door of some things that have been opened for us. And maybe we need to say, hey, do you have a moment so I can talk to you about Jesus? Moses had to go out and talk to people and bring them out and into a promised land. He didn't have training for it. He didn't go to Dale Carnegie and how to win friends and influence people to bring a whole nation out. He didn't have that training. He didn't have public speaking training. But he had something that we all have, and his name is Jesus. He had God on his side. He had someone that was going to help him out. He had a rich father that was going to help him get where he needed to go. And what you and I need to do is we need to locate the areas where we've been comfortable making excuses and begin to make changes in that area. We get comfortable in making these things that just rolls off our tongue. Well, you know, you just make the excuse. You do it all the time, right? I mean, come on. Or am I just the one? I'm the only one, right? Make excuses. And you get so comfortable with making excuses, but now I'm going to ask you to make some changes. Eliminate all the excuses to go to the next level in your life. If you like where you're at in the pool where no one's going to put you into the water, we figured after 38 years maybe he would have found someone to help him. Maybe he would have figured a way to slither into the water. You might have been on the top tier, but maybe I would have slithered down. I would have figured a way somehow to get there. Because he got to the pool in the first place. He just couldn't make the jump in. I'm asking you to jump all the way in. Be like that dog, man. Just kind of poking. Excuse me. Hello. Tell you about Jesus. You don't know what doors might open. It might be somebody you speak to that has a friend who needs to hire somebody, and that person's the president of some company and gets to like you and puts you in charge of everything. You don't know unless you make yourself available. Moses made himself available. He didn't have all the training. He didn't have all the skills. He was doubting himself. I've been there. But you got to start eliminating those excuses in your life in order to go to the next level. You're the only one that can hinder the progress, only you. The only one that can hinder the progress for me is me. Not my wife. If I want to do something, I'm pretty strong-willed. I'll go get it done somehow, some way. Come higher hell water. You heard that saying, higher hell water. I'm going to get it done. Yeah. Not going to make an excuse. Excuses hold you from going to the next level in Christ. Do what you have to do to change to take place in your life because you already possess the power. Let me show you something God showed me. There's 7 excuses that people use, and most of the time they miss heaven because of it. Maybe you know people like this. Everybody's doing it. Excuse. Everybody's jumping off the bridge. I might as well jump too. Hey, everybody's, you know, kind of going to that party and drinking and getting high, so it must be okay, and you make an excuse. And you know it not to go. You know, times have changed. They make excuses. Times have changed. You know, they used to, my grandma used to do it that way, and they went to the church and she used to pray for us. But now, you know, times have changed. We don't do it that way. I don't believe as you do. Excuse. Someday you want to believe like I do, otherwise you're going to hell. There's no God, you know. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong and end up missing heaven. I was sincere in everything I did. I was a good altar boy. I was a good person, I thought. I made some mistakes along the way, but I knew that I could do 5 Hail Marys and 3 Our Fathers, and I was good. You know, amen. But I still was sincerely missing heaven because I didn't have a relationship with God. I made an excuse. I don't want to be like my brother. He joined some cult. He reads the Bible. I don't want to read no Bible. I don't understand. That's the thing I remember when I first read that Bible. I read that Bible and I said, I don't understand. What's all this theeth, thieth, doeth stuff, you know? King James stuff. I mean, yeah, it wasn't in King James. Give me something that I can read and understand. Something that I can apply to my life. Someone could come up there and preach up there, and that was great, but when they got the these, eyes, and those, and thuses, I was like zoned out. Made an excuse not to understand. Why? Because I didn't want to put any effort into it. I'll put it off to later. That's what I did. I waited 20-some years before after I got married to get saved. Wish I would have got saved when I was 3. My life would have probably been different. Probably would have caused my parents less pain, even though I was the best one of the 3. Amen. Hallelujah. And my parents in the back said, amen. Hallelujah. I got that on recording, and I'm going to send that to my brother. Amen. Hallelujah. But I put it off to later in life. And how many times did God save me from that car accident when I was drinking and driving and should have been, could have been, would have been? And then you drive by it and you see an accident and dead bodies everywhere and you were drunk and it could have been you. God! Excuses. Or this one, I'm too bad. God can't take me. I've made so many mistakes. I've hurt so many people. I've done so much. I'm just such a bad person that he can't do it for me. I made excuses. This morning, let's make a commitment to make no more excuses. This morning, let's change our mindset. Let's renew our mind in the Word of God so that we do things God's way and not your way. Take a look at this slide real quick. A lot of us seem like we're wrapped up in a cocoon. But inside that cocoon, there's something beautiful that wants to come out. And you'll stay in that cocoon while you're making excuses. But as soon as you quit making excuses, you can knit yourself way out of that cocoon so that you can see out and there's something beautiful waiting. You're no longer bound up in a cocoon anymore. You're no longer chained up and bound up and tied up and thinking wrong. You begin to get loose and then you begin to fly free like a butterfly. You begin to have a transformation. If you haven't gotten my book, Radical Transformation, God's Way, it's a butterfly. And for why? Because you used to be a worm that used to go on the ground like a caterpillar. I didn't like caterpillars. They're just creepy. But I love the butterfly. And butterflies are all different. There's not a butterfly that's the same. There's always something a little different. There's a little speck of something different, just like God made you different. God made you an original, and he broke the mold. That's what he did with the butterfly. The process is the same for every butterfly, but what comes out may be a little different. So I told my wife, I'm just a little different. Amen. You can do it. The Holy Spirit that's inside of me is inside of you. He wants to lead you. Shout to me this morning, no more excuses. No more excuses. Touch your neighbor, say, no more excuses. Touch your other neighbor, say, no more excuses. See, no more excuses. You can be like that butterfly. You can soar to new heights. Excuses are nails that are used to build a house of failure. Don't build a house of failure. Today is the day. Today's September 1st. Mark it down in your calendar somewhere. Today's the day you say, no more excuses. You might want to put that on your calendar. And say, I'm going to do some things differently starting today. I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to make some goals that I can meet. Not something that, I'm going to, run a marathon in 2 weeks. No, it takes training and effort, and it's a process. But you don't have to wait 38 years like the man to take up his mat and go do. You could do it now. Maybe today's the day you start losing weight. You get back to the gym. You look for a new job. You find something better. You spend time with your family more, or you spend more time in the Word, or maybe you call an old friend, or maybe you make amends with a family member that's hurt you from a long time. Maybe today's the day you quit making excuses. Maybe today's the day you pick up a book and you say, I'm going to start reading more, or I'm going to start becoming on time at work. I'm going to be on schedule a little earlier. I'm going to be 5 minutes early instead of 5 minutes later, or just barely making it under the wire. Maybe today's the day you quit making excuses that it's your boss and the employer, and maybe you look at yourself and say, hey, maybe it's me. Just maybe. God has given you and given me the power to change. But only you can make that happen. Only you can make the first step. Jesus has already made all the steps he's going to make. You're not on the cross no more. He has done everything he's going to do. Now it's up to you. He's not doing anything new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. So if he ain't changing, something's got to change, and it's got to be us. Got to be me. In order to change, you got to make those mistakes and those excuses. Well, you know, I just, they're going to pick on me because of this, or they're going to, yeah. Really? Well, I'm a woman, so they won't pay me as much as they pay a man. Really? I didn't see that in the Bible. I'm going to look up that scripture and verse. A woman can't be paid as much as a man. I didn't see that. It's an excuse. Society has told you that. God didn't tell you that. Come on. Well, I can't run my own business. I don't have the expertise. Well, ask God. He'll give you some knowledge and wisdom and insight that you'll be able to run your own business. Change begins in the inside of your heart. God always deposits it in your mindset and then puts it in your heart, so when you speak, you're speaking out what God's placed in your heart. Then the outward appearance and the manifestation of it shows up after, but it's got to get inside of you first. It's got to get inside these walls called your brain here, and you got to start getting your thinking right. And if you can get your thinking right and not make any of these excuses anymore, I can't, you got to get the word can't out of your vocabulary. I can't make it to church on time. Really? But if I say I'm giving $1,000 away to the first person here at 10 minutes to, I bet you'd be here. Come on. That church down there, they're giving money if you come to church. I have 5 million people in here. I'd be waiting outside. And then I'd have to tell them that psalm they have in a wall, be still and know that I am God. Be patient. Don't let the blessings get away from you. Make an effort today to stop making excuses. You have it inside of you to be successful. It's already in you. You already have it in you to be all that God's called you to be, but you got to see yourself be. You got to remove your old friend used to and can't out of your vocabulary. You got to be the one that maybe makes the first step. Maybe it's you that has to go and apologize, even though you know you weren't wrong to somebody. But you've been making excuses for years and you harbored the feelings, and all this time you're wasting an opportunity, maybe, wasting an opportunity that person has for you in their lives, but you've been so hard and callous to them. They hurt you. You made an excuse not to like them anymore. Didn't say you had to really like them, but you got to love them somehow. Come on. There's people I don't like at all, but I have to love them. Amen. I don't like what they're doing. I don't line up. Their word doesn't line up with the God's word, but I still got to love them because God said I loved you when you were stinking, when your thinking was wrong, when you were making all these excuses of not coming to serve me. And I had a list a mile long not to serve God. I don't know about you. Maybe you only had one or two. I had a scroll of reasons not to serve God. Amen. Took me almost 30 years to catch God. Amen. All the time he'd been trying to get my attention, shaking my life, and putting people in front of it, and people to encourage me and run across the pathway for me. And you would just say, no. You made excuses. Last week we said it's not how you start, but it's how you finish that matters. God wants you to finish on top, but you ain't going to get on top if all you do is make excuses. I have a friend whose parents were dentists, and they had a lot of money, and their son would get in a lot of trouble all the time, and they would pay for his way, and they'd always make excuses for him. Well, now the guy is 50 years old, and all he is an excuse. He lives in an apartment that his parents pay for. Doesn't want to work. He's lazy. His parents are upset. All I do is pay his bills. Well, you made excuses for him all your life. What you sowed into is what you reaped. And the potential for this person to be great and have finances and have a family, and he has had a couple divorces, and his kids don't go by him, and he's drinking and drugging, and And they make excuses, and he stays 38 years later. You know, still doing the same old. Now he's 50, and he's still doing the same old because he makes excuses. His parents made excuses for him, and he just learned that habit. Excuse, 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 excuse. Break those excuses. No more excuses. God wants you to be successful. God wants you on top. God desires his children to be blessed. And at what level you want to be blessed is upon the effort you want to place. If you're happy in the apartment, that's good. The Jeffersons had an apartment, but they were in the penthouse. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's okay. Maybe it's you just want to have your own house, or maybe you just want to get a new car because you've never had one. Maybe you just like to get a used good car because you're riding a bike everywhere you're going. Amen. Or a scooter. I mean, I don't know. But it's where you want it to take it. And if you eliminate those excuses, you'll see that there are walls that then begin to be removed, and you begin to flow in the things that God really wants you to flow in. I made excuses for a long time about the church, and I make excuses, well, I'm really busy, I don't have time to go out and hand out flyers. I'm no more excuses from the pastor. If you don't want to go hand out flyers and it's 100 degrees, I'm going to go do it. But I'm going to have blessings. See, you can't get to heaven on my coattails, nor do you want to, because I might eat beans. Amen. So, that pastor's crazy. But I'm trying to tell you, no more excuses. In the last couple months, we've been just changing the atmosphere of the church. We've been changing it. We've been getting very serious about the Father's business, because the Father will be returning his Son. And when he comes, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, or not, well, what have you been doing, just kind of hanging out, giving only 80% of your effort when I want 100%? Make excuses. So don't make excuses. God wants to bless you. God wants you on top. God wants you to have favor. God wants to increase you. God wants you blessed in everything you do. But it's up to you. It's up to you. You have the power to not make any more excuses. That's why I know you're all going to be here on the 20th. Amen. Because there'll be no excuse. Nothing will get in your way if it's important enough for you. If it's not, that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to pick on you. There's a church on the street. I know. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? It's about the little things and making excuses. I'm already tired, and I can go home right now and go to sleep, but I got to get to the gym because I know I'm going to go eat a big lunch. It might have a couple of sweets in it, amen. Probably eat sweets as soon as we leave here, amen. Did you get anything this morning? Do you understand that we can't be about making excuses? I don't like getting excuses from my employees. I don't like to get excuses from my kids. Now I know what my parents meant when I used to make excuses. I used to drive them just up the wall. I don't want to say them driving crazy, because they're not crazy. They're sound mind, amen? But making excuses. Always being late and not timely and not being a person of your word. Oh, I'll be there, and then never show up. You ever have friends like that? Have a dinner party and 10 people said I'm coming, and then 4 show up. Now I just call those people up and I embarrass them. I do it in a loving way, though. Praise God. So I made all this food. Should I come and deliver it to your house tomorrow, since you couldn't make it today and you didn't call me? I know your cell phone got shut off and your phone was broken. You had no gas in your car. And these are Christians. Come on. Schedule time, and we wait, and where's everybody at? That's what Jesus probably thinks sometimes, but he's been waiting on us. He's been waiting for us. But we make excuses. We make excuses not to pray. We make excuses not to read the word. We make excuses not to go help somebody. The whole time God's just waiting for us to show up so that he can shine through us. The excuse gets in the way of him being able to be edified and glorified and magnified. God says, stand up. Pick up your mat and go walk. Stand up. Something you couldn't do before, stand. Pick up the mat you couldn't pick up before, now you can. And now go walk. Go do the work and the plans of God. I've empowered you. I've enabled you. I've given you the ability to go get it done. Lord, I ask you to bless your people. And everything they put their hands to, let them prosper. Everything they put their hands to, let them grow. Bring them back to this place next week, Lord God, on fire with the testimony of your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your peace, your favor, your increase. Bless them. Increase them. Allow them to work, Lord God, a plan, Lord God, that you placed before them. Allow them to remove the excuses in their life so that, Lord God, they can clearly see you. Don't let the excuses, Lord God, be like that of a person that has to jump those little barriers, Lord God, on a track, Lord God. Those hurdles. When they remove the excuses, you remove the hurdles so they can just run clear and not have to worry about jumping and using extra energy, time, and effort. Bless your people. Allow them to run to you as Abba Father. Allow them to come to Jesus and serve you and just do your work and your plan in their life. Let them be single focused on you, Jesus. Guide their week, Lord God, as they go out, Lord God, and they put applications, let theirs be sifted to the top. Let there be something like a ray of light shine out. This is the one I need to bring in and interview. This is the one I know I was only paying $20 now, but I got to give this person $25. I don't know why. I just have to. Lord, bless your people. Allow them, Lord, to remove the excuses and the barriers and let them just run to you, Father. Let them know that they are able and capable to complete great and mighty things. Heal their bodies, touch their minds. And Lord, as they depart from here today and they go to their jobs and their workplaces and families and homes and all this stuff over this week, I had your protection around them, a blessing around them, and favor come around them. I speak this now in the name of Jesus. And everybody that heard it, that was in agreement, that doesn't want to make any more excuses, said, Amen. Amen.